Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today is podcast number 1028. The topic is Q&A and the title is Nutrition Basics and Macronutrient Tracking. This is going to be a lot of information, so have a pen and paper ready. Kind of make sure you're awake, drink some caffeine, you know, get ready for this. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk you through that if you are looking to just start to learn about nutrition. And I'm going to read you real quick here. So somebody reached out and said, I'm looking for information on the process of nutrition as a whole and macronutrient counting. Pretty much the do's and don'ts and the why and why nots. They want to know kind of just basics, start from the basics of nutrition, how they can then learn to write their own kind of nutrition plan, and then how they can track that and make sure they're doing it well with the least amount of effort possible. Awesome question. This would be, you know, $1 million answer, but I do think I have an answer. So we're going to go through it today. I'm going to talk to you about 13 podcasts that if you listen through them, they should pretty much have you know everything you need to know and help you learn how to write your own nutrition plan and how to track it over time. Now, in total, it adds up to about 7 hours of podcasts. That sounds like a lot, but if you do 30 minutes a day for 2 weeks, boom. So it's not that bad. So if you can invest, you know, 30 minutes a day for 2 weeks and then know everything you need to know about nutrition for the rest of your life, that's a pretty damn good deal. I'll take that deal. So 21 years ago when I started trying to learn all this stuff, I'd have taken that deal in a heartbeat. But here it is. We're going to go through it today. I'm going to give you the podcast titles and then one or two statements that kind of sum that up, like each podcast up. But in no way whatsoever is what I'm saying in today's podcast a replacement for listening to the podcast that I give. You do need to go back and listen to the podcast because it has way more information, just the details that you will need for your individual needs. Then at the end, what I want to do is basically just going to ask if, by the end of the podcast, if you like everything, it feels a little overwhelming, but you're like, dang, this sounds like it would be really awesome. I really want to work my way through this and do well. At the moment, I'm trying to figure out how to accumulate this into like an ebook that has a workbook component to it. I have not really been great at scheduling time because I don't technically make any money from that. So writing an ebook to eventually sell it helps you make money then, not now. So I'm having trouble trying to find time in the now that I can devote, you know, hours of effort to and not make any money and be okay with that. So at the moment, I'm trading some sleep and doing some other odds and ends to make it work. If you think that that ebook would be something you would purchase, if you think that it would be something of benefit, email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com and tell me that. If I get a couple emails and people seem interested, that's going to motivate me to get this freaking thing done, and I know that it'll be worth the time spent. If you don't think it's useful, don't email me, and if I don't get any emails, then I'll know, okay, maybe I need to devote that time somewhere else. So I'm going to get that out of the way up front, so that way you know that that's in the back of your mind, that if this does feel overwhelming, there is potential for an ebook coming out to kind of help sort this out and make it something you can kind of walk your way through, and it'll just kind of a guide to go through this process. Now, the first thing that the person asked for was kind of learning nutrition as a whole. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you've probably heard me mention a lot of the podcasts that I'm going to name off here. But one that I mention a lot is podcast number 41. So that's a long, long, long time ago, almost 1,000 podcasts ago. So if you have trouble finding that, you can Google it, Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 41. The title is Diet Right, What Matters Most. So just type in Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 41, Diet Right, What Matters Most. Hopefully it'll come up. If it doesn't, just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll send you the direct link. But podcast 41, it's titled Diet Right, What Matters Most, because in that podcast we explain what matters most, where you should put your focus and energy to get the biggest impact. Unfortunately, overwhelmingly, most people put their focus on the wrong place. Almost everyone starts by trying to clean up what they eat. Excuse me for a second. They try to clean up what they eat, which, like, you look at, like, food quality. Maybe they switch from, you know, like white bread to wheat bread, white rice to brown rice. Or they try to eliminate entire categories of foods like ketogenic diet. They'll just, well, I'm not going to eat any carbohydrates. That's ridiculous. You're not going to avoid carbohydrates for the rest of your life. So we have to find ways to make changes nutritionally that don't consume all of our effort and only give us minimal return or only temporary return. We want to put our effort into something that's going to give us more permanent changes. So, podcast 41, Diet Right, What Matters Most, explains that the most impactful thing is your overall caloric intake. You can control nothing else about your diet, but if you control calories, you'll get your body weight to change in the direction you want. So, if you're looking for fat loss, you set your calories up for an appropriate deficit, you create weight loss. Now, depending on the way in which you set your calories up, some of that weight loss will be fat, some of it will be water weight, and some will be muscle tissue if you severely undereat. So the rest of the components of a successful diet do matter in regards to the quality of change that you will make. How do you maximize fat loss and minimize muscle loss? Well, that does come into the other details. But in general, you can get nothing else right. If you get your calories right, your weight will at least change in the right direction. Likewise, if I'm trying to add size, say I'm wanting to try to build muscle mass, I want to get bigger. Well, if I have my calories in appropriate surplus, I'll gain weight. Now, how much of that is fat, how much of that is muscle, how much of it is water weight, water bloat, that all depends on the rest of it. But calories, by far, are the most important because you can eat the right food, quote unquote, but if you eat too much of it and your calories are above what they should be, even if you eat the cleanest food in the world, you won't lose body fat because you're not in a caloric deficit. You would actually stay the exact same or you'd actually end up gaining fat. So the quality of a food, whether it's quote unquote a good food or a bad food, really doesn't matter if you don't also control calories. Now, why sometimes people will can change food quality and still lose weight, you know, so if they're like, well, you say that, but remember, every time I switch to this food, I always lose weight. Well, it's either secondarily an accident, essentially, is you reduce, like, the calories because maybe some caloric option. So, for example, the amount of brown rice you're eating compared to white rice has less calories. It wasn't that you switched from white to brown that mattered. It was that you switched to something that provided fewer calories. Also, when you're switching from eating whatever to then trying to eat quote-unquote healthy foods, we tend to cut down on snacking, we tend to reduce our overall portions, we tend to kind of watch what we're doing closer, which automatically creates a caloric deficit. So if you're switching from one food to another food, and you're like, every time I do that, it works, it's not the fact that you're actually switching from the food, it's actually that you're just accidentally causing a caloric reduction. So calories matter most. Second most important thing is protein content, the amount of protein that you eat. Protein repairs and maintains our current kind of everything in our body, muscle tissue, joint health, like joint integrity. It also helps regulate, you know, body temperature, pH balance in the blood. It grows our hair, skin, nails, does a bunch of stuff. So protein does a lot of things in our body. Our body absolutely needs it. It's how our body repairs itself. It's how it grows. It's an essential macronutrient. You absolutely need to have an appropriate amount of protein for you to have the best outcome from your nutritional efforts. Now, also the right amount of protein is absolutely necessary if you're looking to build muscle. If you want to build new muscle, what the muscle is built from is protein. If I want to build a brick house, I have to have bricks. If I want to build muscle, I have to have protein. That's how it works. So if you're not paying attention to protein, if you don't have the correct amount of protein, you could have the right calories, you could be training your ass off in the gym, but you will not build the optimal amount of muscle tissue. You won't have optimal connective tissue health. So there's people who do this all the time, that they'll try to control their calories, and then they'll go run like an idiot, like tons of running, crazy running, to try to lose weight. They severely undereat protein, they end up wasting away at muscle tissue, they end up wasting away at connective tissue health, and all of a sudden their knee hurts, their ankle hurts, some weird thing in their hamstrings starting to hurt because they're getting super tight from running and they're not stretching. So our body falls apart without adequate protein intake. So we have to have that ready and have that at the right amount. Another thing is protein, it does not as directly contribute to body fat as carbohydrates and dietary fats does. Or do. Protein has so many other uses in our body that if it is in a surplus, it's more likely to be used up in other ways than being converted over to body fat. So one of the benefits is you can, if you have a diet with proper amounts of protein, you end up being able to actually eat more overall food than a diet with inappropriate amounts of protein. So this allows you to feel fuller and eat more even while you're trying to lose weight. So the third most important thing is meal timing, which includes frequency. So when do I eat and how often do I eat? That affects our body composition, our muscle mass to body fat ratio, including water weight. It affects our digestion. It affects our daily energy. It affects our daily mood. It affects a lot of things. That's the third most important. The fourth most important is food quality, and this would be like the types of foods you're eating, whether you're eating white rice, brown rice, white bread, you know, wheat bread, whether you're doing, you know, kale or spinach as opposed to any other vegetable or no vegetables whatsoever. So food quality does matter, but if you notice, it's the fourth thing in the list. What it impacts is the cleaner the foods we eat, you usually just feel better. Your digestion is better. Your energy is better. You'll have lower water retention, typically. So that actually helps you look a little bit better. And also what factors into kind of food quality is the types of foods you eat have different digestion rates. So you would have some factoring of food quality contributing towards the goal of meal timing. Now, I'm going to explain this a little bit further on, but that's pretty much the first four things. Everything else falls into number five, which would be like supplements. So what matters most when you're looking at the big picture of a diet is calories is most impactful. The amount of protein you have in your within the calories is second most impactful. Then meal timing, which includes meal frequency, then food quality, and then everything else. So unfortunately, what most people want to do is they start at food quality. They just try to eat, quote-unquote, healthier things. Then they look at number five, at supplements, and try to take a fat burner or fat loss pill. The reason why they do that is it's the easiest thing you can do, but it doesn't mean it's the most effective. It's easier to still eat when you want to eat and eat whatever you want to eat and just switch from, you know, well, you know, in my home wrecker burrito from Moe's, I'm going to switch to brown rice instead of white rice. The significance of that is insanely meaningless. So people do that thinking it's going to make them feel better, and they still get to eat a huge 1,000-calorie plus burrito and think, well, I'm dieting. No, you're not. You're being a goofball. So understanding more about nutrition helps us to make better choices, to make sure that what we're putting effort to will actually have an impact that is significant. Okay, so podcast 41 is by far the first place that you should start, first thing you should listen to. Now, podcast 41 explains that calories is the most important. So let's look further into calories. Podcast 153, titled "How Many Calories Do I Need?" answers the question of how many calories do I need? Pretty good title, right? Yeah, I did well on that one. So that's typically going to be when you tell somebody, okay, you need to pay attention to calories. Their question is, well, then how many calories do I eat? Well, there you go. That's your answer, podcast 153. In general, the best answer that I can give you in like a succinct, you know, statement here is get on a food tracking app, some kind of a calorie tracking app, whether it's MyFitnessPal. There's like 40 billion of them out there in the world now. So just find something that you can enter in the food you eat every day, and it'll add up the calories for you. This does mean that you need to learn how to measure your food. So get on YouTube, learn about weight scales, like food scales, on how to weigh your food. Learn about using measuring cups. Learn about, you know, in America we have 40 bajillion different ways to measure things, like rather than like milliliters and liters and things like that in grams, we do stuff in a bunch of weird other measuring markers. So you'll have to learn all that stuff. But it's not overwhelming. It's not impossible. People do it all the time. People do it every damn day. So I have 13 to 14 year olds that can track this stuff and do fine. I have people in their 60s and 70s that track this stuff and do fine. So what you're going to want to do is get on YouTube. Find a video that explains about food scale, how to use a food scale. Find a video that explains how to like measure out foods. Watch it. Probably each video might take 10 minutes, probably more like 5 minutes. So very quick and easy. You can definitely do this. No problem. Okay. So you're going to want to track your food and enter it into that macronutrient tracking app or whatever website or whatever you're using. But you're going to want to track your food for 3 to 7 days. I would recommend 7 because it's the most kind of more data equals better numbers, basically. But 3 minimum, 7 is what I would suggest you do. And during those days, you want to try to maintain your current body weight. Now, our body weight naturally fluctuates plus or minus 2% every single day. And that's due to water weight changes, essentially. So we store water in our body, and that differs depending on our activity level, our carbohydrate intake, our sodium intake, and just time of the month for certain people. So just it changes all the time. But a 2% change in weight is very typical. So throughout that time that you're measuring your food, that first 3 to 7 days, try to stay within 2% body weight. So if you notice after tracking the first day, all of a sudden your body weight is down 2 pounds, you know, be like, oof, geez, okay, maybe I restricted too much today. You know, let me eat a little more tomorrow or kind of get back to feeling like a normal food day. So over the time of the 3 to 7 days, you want to try to hold within 2% of your normal body weight. You're going to find then the average intake over those 7 days. So you're going to add up all of the calories that you ate over 7 days divided by 7. And that's going to tell you your average intake. If during those 7 days you were able to maintain your body weight within a 2% variance, that average that you find pretty much tells you what your maintenance calories are, which means the calories you can eat to maintain your current body weight. So that's how you want to kind of find out how many calories you need, is track your body weight, track your calories over 7 days. Find the average intake of your calories, and if your body weight was within 2% window, plus or minus 2%, then that pretty much tells you how many calories you need to stay exactly where you're at. Now, we're going to use that and grow from that. In the next podcast I want you to listen to is podcast 857. Titled Caloric Cycling to Breakthrough Plateaus. We need to adjust our calories from day to day to match our activity from day to day. So in general, most people are aware that you need to be in a caloric deficit, which means you're eating less calories than you're using, in order for you to burn off body fat. Well, how many calories you're using is different every day. If you have a day when you exercise versus not exercise, a day where you're up and active on your feet at work versus maybe a weekend day where you're sitting on your butt on the couch. Our daily activity changes, therefore our caloric intake needs to match that. It needs to also change every day. If I'm trying to eat more to grow muscle tissue, if I'm trying to eat more to gain size, gain weight, well, if I just eat a steady caloric intake every single day, some days it's a surplus, some days it won't be. And I'm actually falling behind on my goal. I might even accidentally have a super active day. And I'm actually, unfortunately, in a deficit. And therefore, I'm definitely not reaching towards my goal. So you need to adjust daily calories to match your daily activity level. This will help you improve body composition, your workout recovery, and actually the effectiveness of the workout. And it'll help you improve the efficiency of what you're trying to work towards, whether it's fat loss, whether it's weight gain, or whether it's just staying the exact same weight and trying to improve your body composition. So those are the podcasts to check out for calories. Podcast 153 and then 857. It'll find out how many calories you need in a day and then how to change that depending on activity levels per day. The second component we mentioned was protein. Podcast number 33, titled How Much Protein Do I Need, will answer the question of, yep, you guessed it, how much protein do I need? So, in general, people need about 0.6 to 1 gram per pound, depending on activity level. If you don't do resistance training and you don't really, or you're not very super active, you probably actually arguably don't even need 0.6, maybe 0.4. But if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are active and you probably do exercise. And even just very minimal exercise levels would increase the need to 0.6 grams per pound of body weight. if you do kind of moderate resistance training, three to four days a week, maybe 2 to 4 days a week, you probably can get away with 0.8 grams per pound of body weight. If you do resistance training and you work out more than 4 days a week, you probably need 1 gram per pound of body weight. Now, listen to that podcast for all the details that are way extra information than what I just said there, but that's the very quick basis of that, okay? So, please listen to podcast 33 to find out more of the details, but the numbers I just gave you will at least give you an idea of, like, where to be and what to do, okay? Now, where do the rest of your calories come from? If we know what our caloric goal is, we then are going to learn, listen to podcast 33 and learn how much protein we should have. What's the gap there? What's the, like, what do I do with the rest of my calories? That comes from carbohydrates and fats. Now, the question then that everybody asks is, well, how much carbs and fats do I need? Well, what do you know? We have a podcast for that. Podcast 1021 is titled, yep, you guessed it, how much carbs and fats do I need? So try to be pretty clear with these titles. Hopefully they're not too, hopefully they're pretty good. But if you're going to find out your total calories, you're then going to find out protein. You then are going to have the question of, what do I do with the rest of my calories? Where do they come from? They come from carbohydrates and fats. Well, how much carbohydrates, how much fats? Listen to podcast 1021. It'll explain that for you. But in general, you change that based on the needs at the time that you're eating a meal. If I'm eating a meal right before I'm super active, I want to focus more on carbohydrates because they digest quickly. If I'm eating a meal at a time when I'm sitting my butt doing nothing, I want to focus more on fats because they digest slowly. Now, this factors into meal timing and meal frequency. I'm going to come back to specifically carbs, fats, and proteins in a little bit. But what we want to look into next is the third most important component is meal timing and frequency. Podcast 249 will teach you about meal timing because it's titled Meal Timing. So podcast 249 is meal timing. And in a sense, what it's going to make the argument for is that your caloric intake should match your activity level. If I'm super busy during the day, I should eat most of my calories during the day. If I'm super busy in the morning, I should eat most of my calories during the morning. Typically, if we consider in like mathematical equations, if you remember like a bell curve, which is where a curve in which it starts low on one end, it peaks in the middle and then comes back down to low on the other end. So it looks like, you know, like the Liberty Bell kind of thing. So that's most people's activity level throughout the day is we start out low because we just got out of bed. We then peak up during the middle of the day. We're busy. Maybe we work out, whatever we do. Then at night, we come back down to low activity and we go to bed. Your calories should match that. If you eat more when you move more, you will look better. You will feel better. Your digestion will be better. Your performance in your workouts will be better. If you undereat during the day and then overeat at night, you will feel like shit. You will look like shit. You will perform like shit. Nothing will go well. And you'll have tracked your calories. You'll have tracked your protein. You'll have seen some good results, but you're going to have low energy. You're not going to have great workout performance. You might have kind of digestive stress because you're jamming a bunch of food in at the end of the day. You're going to be water bloated, and you're not going to be as lean as you want to look. So getting meal timing correct will help you with all of those issues. So listen to podcast 249. Now, podcast 329, titled Meal Frequency Effects on Diets, will explain how many meals a day you should have. So if I know I should match my meal timing to my activity level, when I eat should match when I move. Well, how many times do I need to eat? In general, the more meals, the better. 3 to 6 meals per day is usually great for everybody, somewhere in that window. If you do intermittent fasting and you only eat once per day in some like 4-hour segment of time, that's not optimal. Can it work? Yes, because you're controlling calories and protein intake. So it's going to work to some degree, but you're not going to maximize body composition, daily energy, performance in your workouts, digestion health. You're not going to feel the best or look the best or perform the best if you eat in that manner. Can you control weight? Yes. Can you make progress if you're initially starting that brand new from doing whatever you were doing before? Hell yes. But is it going to plateau? Yes. And then what changes would you need to make once it plateaus? The changes I'm telling you to make already. Okay. So listen to podcast 329, and it'll tell you why it's important to have more frequent meals during the day. And then it's also going to say that it's important that you match your food digestion rates to the time between meals. So if I have meals that are only 3 hours apart, there are foods that I should eat that digest within around 3 hours, so I'm actually hungry for my next meal. If I'm about to work out, I want to have food that digests very quickly so I can use those calories in my workout. I do not want to eat something that digests very slowly. I get no energy for it. My body has it just sitting in its belly while I'm trying to exercise. We're getting, you know, body confusion because it thinks it needs to process the food in your belly, but your muscles are being used, so it thinks it needs to send blood to use to fuel your muscles. It gets angry, you feel like crap, and you wonder why you get nauseous when you work out. Because what you're eating doesn't match your activity at the time. So, this leads us then to food quality. If we learn more about carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, we can learn which are the right ones for us to eat at what times. Okay? So when presented a certain meal time, based on what we're doing at the time of that meal, I would then know what type of carbohydrate or what type of protein or what type of fat would be best for me to eat. So, we have a podcast for each of those. Podcast 21, titled Carbs, Good or Bad? And that'll explain it more. And that comes from the question of, are carbs good for you or carbs bad for you? Carbs are just carbs. Like, if you eat them at the right times and the right amounts, they're totally great. They're awesome. If you avoid carbohydrates altogether, that's actually not smart, and it's not sustainable over time. It's unnecessary. It's ridiculously unnecessary. So podcast 21 is titled Carbs, Good or Bad. Listen to that. Learn more about carbohydrates. Podcast 29 is titled, If I Eat Fat, Will I Get Fat? And it talks about dietary fats, what are the best types, and when are the best times to eat them. Podcast 216, titled Protein Digestion and Type Selection, literally breaks down what type of proteins are best for you and what time and how long do they take to digest. So to learn about food quality, the best foods, like the good foods, the quote-unquote healthy foods, and to learn how they best match your meal timing, those should be the podcasts you should listen to. Now, in the category of everything else, meaning we've already covered the four most important components that we learned from in podcast 41, calories, protein, meal timing and frequency, and food quality. Everything else was kind of number five. One of the things that falls under everything else is supplements. We have some older podcasts on supplements, but one of the more recent ones I did was podcast 997, titled What's Next? That would be a really good one to listen to because it talks about once you have your calories, protein, meal timing and frequency, and food quality accounted for, literally the question of what's next? What do I do next? And it, one of the answers is supplements, and it explains what are the best supplements for you in that podcast. So check out podcast 997 titled What's Next. Okay, we're almost done. You have two more podcasts to go. The second to last podcast is Setting Up a Meal Plan, podcast number 277, titled Setting Up a Meal Plan. So once you've learned what you need to learn from all the previous podcasts, you now know all the components, all the elements that are supposed to be in your nutrition, how they like interplay with each other, how they're supposed to be kind of put into your day. Podcast 277 explains how to set up a meal plan, how to create when you should eat, what you should eat, and how much of it you should eat, okay? Then, how do you track this stuff over time? How can I do macronutrient tracking efficiently and easiest? Podcast number 658, titled Macronutrient Tracking, Getting the Most from the Least. It talks to you how to track your calories with the least amount of effort, so that way you can get the best results, but not have to invest all damn day doing math and all this other crap that we don't want to do. Okay? So, that is the entire process that we got through in about 30 minutes. Now, that's 13 podcasts, about 7 hours of podcasts. That might sound like a lot, but like we said, if you do 30 minutes a day for the next 2 weeks, maybe you do 15 minutes a day for the next 4 weeks. It doesn't really matter. But in less than a month, you can learn everything you need to know for nutrition. Feel empowered on how to kind of interplay it into your schedule and your lifestyle. Nothing I've told you here will be a diet that you have to fit to. Every single thing I've told you will teach you how to fit your diet to you, to your schedule, to your needs, to your preferences, to what you want it to be, what will work for you in the long run. Don't follow someone else's diet. Listen to these 13 podcasts and make your own damn diet. And you can have that for the rest of your life. Cool. Well, as you work your way through this podcast, if you have any questions, reach out to us or email us brutalirongym@gmail.com. I will make a podcast to answer your question, and then that'll hopefully help you along your way. Also, like I said, I'm working on an ebook and workbook that'll take you through these steps. I am trying my best to do it. I'm pretty much every other night sleeping less to try to fit this in. So it's just life. That's how life works. If you want to get ahead in life, you gotta put in the work. So if there is something that you think would be useful, you would actually kind of be interested in the ebook and the workbook, email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Tell me you'd actually be interested. And it would be fun if I got some replies so that way I'm more motivated to stay up late and do this. I do think it's useful. I do think people enjoy it. But I would love to hear if that's true. So if you don't mind, shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. But thank you for listening to this podcast today. I hope that even if this sounds kind of overwhelming, I hope that you can see that the information is available and that it is possible for you to learn about nutrition so you can write nutrition in your way to what's best for you. Okay. Well, if you need anything at all, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. If you think the podcast is helpful, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, we share it on social media, email, text message, conversation with a friend, the more we share the podcast, the more people we can help. If the podcast has been helpful in your life at all, please share it so we can help other people's lives as well. Thank you if you do that. If you like today's episode, click like. If you like what we share in our podcast, check out our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.